Spirit. Amen. Today we offer this Mass for Peace. Why do we offer a Mass for Peace today? It's because the Pope has asked us to pray for peace today. He's asked us to fast and to pray so that our prayers may be strengthened. We fast. And so whatever form our fasting takes on during these days, it will strengthen these prayers which we pray for. What kind of peace are we praying for today? It's obvious that the occasion of peace is a time of actual physical violence and war that is going on. But that's not the kind of peace that we're really praying for today. A mere cessation of violence? Is that really what we want? We're Catholic. We're Christian, and so we want something which is far more than that. If all violence stopped, we would not be satisfied with such peace. If missiles ceased to be fired, if men ceased to rush out with weapons of war, if senseless murders were to cease to stop, slaughter the innocent, that would not be enough. We're asking God for something more. What more are we asking for today? We're asking for peace, not to reign in our world, but for peace to reign in hearts. Recall the occasion that happened shortly after our Lord spoke these words which were given in the gospel, or rather, those things which happened 2 days before our Lord spoke these words within the gospel. He was standing before one who had the power to wage war, or as he said, the power to cause it to stop, Pilate. And when he said to him, "Are you a king?" he said, "You say that I am." He said, "Who am I, a Jew?" "Do you not see that I have your life in my hands? I can grant it, I can take it away." He reminds him that you have no power except that which is given to you by my Father. And in that same place, the Lord of glory turns to him and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, those who are mine would be up in arms defending me. And so it is, they are not." Where does our Lord desire to set up his kingdom? Not in Jerusalem, not in Judea, not in Samaria, not in Washington or the capitals of the world, but in the capital of our own hearts and our souls. And so that's what kind of peace that we're asking for God to do, something which is truly miraculous. Again, how is this achieved? It's achieved not on the grand global scale that we ask, but it is achieved on the micro scale. Our Lord in this very passage talks about his desire to fulfill the message for which he is given that is spoken by the prophet Malachi when he speaks of the Messiah. He says his name shall be peace. He shall be peace. And after speaking peace to calm those who were afraid of the Jews there to barge through the doors and string them up as they did their Lord and Master, our Lord gives them the method of peace. You remember what that method of peace is? It's what each of you just had the opportunity for, whether you took advantage of it or not and don't know. God does, and you do. He breathed on them, and what happened? Breathing upon him, he says, "Receive the Holy Ghost." And what is the power that the Holy Ghost grants when he is breathed upon the apostles and even Didymus, who is absent? "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." It this would be a good place to CF the sermon we preached this weekend. First, peace begins with confession, recognizing our own faults. Recall the great servant of God, Gilbert Keith Chesterton, who long ago, when in a radio program, was arguing with somebody and said, "What's wrong with the world? What's wrong with the world?" Over and over again, people were wondering at his day, "What is wrong with the world?" And do you recall his response? It launched him to write a great book, "What is wrong for the world? Wrong with the world?" In that radio address, he said, "What's wrong with the world? I am. I'm wrong with the world. Why are there wars? Why is there brother against brother? The real reason is because I failed to convert. It's because I don't love." In a deeper sense, there's violence in the world because I do not forgive, because I hold grudges, because I do not let God's love to penetrate my soul. So the first way to peace is through the door of the confessional, which means I admit my wrong and let God forgive me. There's a second path of peace that opens up for us too. That is the step further, which we preached on this weekend. Having been forgiven myself, I too must forgive. The only path to peace is through forgiveness. It's not through an exercise of justice, of paying back one wrong for another, of making sure that the scales are level again. It never brings about peace. It brings about ceasefire, but never peace. Peace is only brought about when I refuse to have justice and instead forgive. It's when I show mercy. And if, as the Holy Father has asked us to do, there is to be a peace upon the global scale, it begins first with those two actions: my own admission of wrong and getting real forgiveness between God, the real person offended by every sin and every evil act, and secondly, by my forgiving others, because I've received so much more forgiveness than any other assault that could ever happen to me. And what is the greatest act of violence, the reason for war, the reason why we do not have peace? Rather than me telling you why, listen to a saint. A saint of our time, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Do you remember what she said the greatest destroyer of peace is? She spoke this at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. in 1994. Here are two paragraphs in the middle of her extemporaneous speech, as she always spoke extemporaneously, that is to say, by God's Spirit. She said, "These are things that break peace. But I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it is a war against the child. A direct killing of the innocent child, murder by the mother herself. And if we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? How do we persuade a woman not to have an abortion? As always, we must persuade her with love and remind ourselves that love means to be willing to give until it hurts. Jesus gave even his own life to love us. So the mother who is thinking of an abortion should be helped to love. That is, to give until it hurts her plans or her free time, to respect the life of her child. The father of that child, whoever he is, must also give until it hurts. By abortion, the mother does not learn to love, but kills even her own child to save her problems. And by an abortion, that father is told that he does not have to take any responsibility at all for the child he has brought into the world. The father is likely to put another woman into the same trouble. So abortion just leads to more abortion. Any country that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use any violence to get what they want. This is why the greatest destroyer of love and peace is abortion. These are the words of the saint. We're horrified by the things which have been shown on TV that these terror bringers have broadcast of their own actions because they're proud of them. These things horrify and strike the conscience. Greater violence happens every day, not many yards or miles down the street from even where we preach now. Far greater than what was done on a single day a couple weeks ago. We pray for peace. And so we pray for those who have no peace and think they must resort to violence, that they can find the real peace that he who is peace comes to bring, which is his very self to reign in their hearts. They can receive his forgiveness and be at peace only then when he reigns in their souls, and then to be able to extend that peace through forgiveness to others. This is really what we're praying for today. Let's ask our Lord, through his almighty power granted us here in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, unifying to that our own particular suffrages and penances which we take up on this day, which are all the more strengthened because the Holy Father, Christ's Vicar himself, has asked for it. So it makes it even stronger. And we can believe that through whatever things that we do here in our little locality can have effect for peace. It begins first in that act between us and God within our souls. And from that, when we make that responsive act to God's great gift to forgive those who so grievously offend us, choosing to even let go of the memory of the offense, as we spoke this weekend. And then to pray that that greater act, that greatest destroyer of peace, might be done away with in our land, but not in laws merely, but in the desire of the heart. For this we pray for peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.